Good morning. It's good to see you all. Thank you for saying that. I feel much better. I've often thought, like Pastor Jeff said, you know, that one note that we sing is a real eyebrow raiser. I think he put that very well. And I've often thought how beautiful it sounds from up here, and I've wanted to invite you all up here to hear it, but then again, you would be up here and not back there. It truly is a treat to hear you all sing. It's a sign of the Spirit of God operating in us when we sing, and we sing with great joy. Would you all please pray with me right now? Father, we thank you for the gift of life that you give us. You do not promise us a smidgen of life, a morsel, but you promise the abundant life for those who will hear, for those who will obey. And so you have offered us this life, this abundant life, through you, right here, right now. You've offered us eternal life. That eternal life is a quality of life. It is a quality of life that begins when someone trusts alone in Christ alone as their Savior. And then goes on through eternity. For those who trust, they are given life now and forever with you. Father, it is my prayer, my hope, my desire, my heart that every person who can hear my voice has come to a point in their life where they've recognized they've done wrong. In your words, they're sinner. They're people who miss the mark. We all do. And that they need someone to save them. And that they would recognize that is exactly why you sent the Lord Jesus. He came to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And he was raised back up in 3 days, proving who he was. That he is God in flesh. And that he had conquered sin. And that he gives us the offer for those who will come to you and say, I recognize I've done wrong. I recognize I'm hopeless and helpless. I know that Jesus died for me and I'm trusting alone in him. That's my heart, Father, that every person would do that because you put that on my heart. I didn't manufacture it myself. And so, Lord, I pray that each one today would trust and that they would learn more about you today, that we would leave here changed and changing. For you are good. You are kind. You are gracious. Speak, Father. Your servants want to hear. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you know that for the over first half of my life, I was raised in a family appliance business, and I spent most of my adult life working in that business. And there's this one particular day that I want to talk about this morning, and it was one that I had sold a freezer to a couple who had never had a freezer before. And they wanted something nice. They wanted something that was the highest quality. They wanted something that had all the bells and whistles, all the features. And they wanted something big. They had a garden. He was a hunter. And they wanted something that would store all of that, including the buys at the store. And so we delivered it, and our delivery team took it to where they wanted. They had never had a freezer before. And so they took it down into the basement where they had cleared a spot for it. And they leveled it up, and they plugged it in, and they checked it out, and the lights came on, and the motor came on, and everything was good. And the team left. And they put food in the freezer. They waited a little while, like we had asked them to, until it chilled a little bit. And they put food in it, and everything was wonderful, until the next morning we got a call. It's not working. Well, is the light on? Yeah, light's on. but it's warm. Well, wasn't it cold yesterday? Yeah, it was cold yesterday. And so we sent out our technician, and he went out, and you know what he found? Nothing. It was working perfectly. There was absolutely nothing wrong with it. And so he talked to them, and he said, I assure you, it's fine. I've checked out the electrical system. I've checked out the Freon system. I've checked out the defrost system. It all works fine. And he left, and everything was fine until the next morning. Same problem. Ice cream has melted. The meat's getting soft. The bread is soft. And so we sent the technician out again, and he checked it again. And you know what he found? Nothing. It was working perfectly. Now, some of you have had this luck with repairs, right? It works, it breaks, and then it works fine when the repairman's there. You know what he found? Unwittingly, what they had done was that when we installed it, they said, plug it in there. And what they didn't tell us was each night they were very careful to turn off all the lights in the basement and along with it the freezer. They had disconnected the freezer from its power all night. Now, all day it was fine because they tended to leave the lights on while they were going down and doing laundry and coming back. They just left the lights on. So it worked fine during the day, but at night they disconnected it from power and they knew it not. This freezer was the top of the line. Had all the bells and whistles. It was the highest of quality. But there was one thing it could not do. It could not operate on its own power. Last week I spoke on us receiving God's best, and you'll never do it unless you have this one thing. You see, you could be a Christian of the highest quality character. You could be well gifted with spiritual gifts. You could be a Christian that can do the things that we need to do, but if you don't have this one thing, you can't run on your own power. You just can't. There are some folks who recognize that they are missing something. There are others who don't even know that there's something missing. Their life is just not what it should be. They hear other Christians talk about the joy that they have in the Lord. And while they can smile, they've never experienced that. Their lives seem to be one like Job. It's just one miserable day after another. They can look good on Sunday, but the truth is they know something's missing and they know not what it is. This morning I want to talk about the forgotten God. For those people, the forgotten God is the Holy Spirit. They know not they're missing the Holy Spirit. Now, they've trusted in Christ and the Spirit is there, just like the freezer was plugged into the wall. But you must turn the switch on. If you do not turn the switch on, you will not experience the power. That freezer couldn't run on its own, and you cannot run on your own. But once we turned that switch on and we recognized the problem, everything was good in the world. And so it will be with you. It won't be easy. But life takes on a whole new view when you learn how to turn the switch on and keep it on. So this morning we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Next week we're also going to talk about how we can keep the switch turned on. So there'll be two messages on the Holy Spirit. Make sure you come next week. Today I want you to go to John chapter 14. It'll take me a little while to get there. But John chapter 14, we're going to look at a few verses, 15 through 17. So the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We're going to ask and answer four questions this morning. So if you want to write that down, we're going to ask and answer four questions. Just four questions. Why do I need this help? Some may think I'm doing pretty good on my own. Why do I need help? Why do I need power from on high? The truth is, the Christian life is not difficult. You know that. It's impossible. The Christian life is not difficult. It's impossible. Let me give you some examples. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, No one seeks after God. Apart from help, apart from the Spirit, we will not even seek God. Second thing, Jesus said, be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 5:48. How are you doing with that? Matthew 5:43, love your neighbor. And you may think, I do a pretty good job with that. Well, how about this one? Love your enemies. Forgive others so that you may be forgiven. These are not suggestions. God says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Any. And you say, well, I don't curse. Yeah, maybe you don't. Maybe you've learned to use the right words. But how do you speak about others? Do you complain? Do you whine? Do you talk badly about others when they're not around? Do you participate in gossip? This is all unwholesome talk. Do you say things that tear people down rather than build them up? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Love God. Oh, I do that. With all your heart, yeah, I'm there. All your soul and all your mind. If we ran a check on your thoughts yesterday, would they all be loving towards God? Would some of them be a little disobedient? How are you doing so far in this list? And love others. Oh, I do that. Love others as you love yourself. Oh, that's a little tough to do. Now, if you think you're doing pretty good so far, try this. Don't lie, don't lust, don't worry, don't judge, don't envy. And try this. Walk in newness of life. Walk in the light. Walk in love. Walk in truth. Walk worthily. Walk by faith and walk not by sight. These are commands for you to do not once, not twice, but 24/7. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How are you doing? Do you think you might need help? I know I do. To the one who takes this seriously, to the one who looks into the mirror of God's Word and they see themselves, they're like Isaiah saying, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. What can I do? They're like Peter, apart from me, Lord, when they see the holiness of God. I'm a sinful man, I'm a sinful woman. But fortunately, help is on the way. Now, I don't know if any of you have had this experience. I'll reveal a little bit about myself. But back in maybe around 2002, 2003, in that area when we were in Texas, Walmart was introducing something brand new. And it was checkouts that were completely electronic without any register. They were automatic. Now, you all know that now, right? Because they have them all over the place. So you don't need a checkout clerk. You scan everything yourself and you put it in a bag yourself. And so I would typically grocery shop with the kids while Patty was at work. And so I had 3 kids in tow and I have a basket full of food. And the same thing happened to me. It was always a long line where the clerks were. But there by the electronic one, where you could do it yourself, there was nobody. Now, you think I would understand why there was nobody there. But I didn't. Cavalier as I was, I figured I would check it. And every time I would get 1, 2, 3 items, and then the thing would jam up. And then this electronic voice would come out and say so cheerfully, help is on its way. Well, obviously, it was blind because there was no help on the way. And we would wait. And then somebody would finally come over, scan their card, get some keys in there, and they'd say, you're good. And 3 more items, and jam up, and help is on its way. I learned to hate that. I wanted to choke that register if I could. Fortunately for us, God says, you can't live the Christian life, but I can. And help is on the way, which is what he told the disciples in John chapter 14, that fateful night. And we'll get there in a minute. And so help is on the way. What Jesus meant was he was sending the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to ask a question. Who is the Holy Spirit? You know, not everybody answers this question the same way. As some people will say, well, the Holy Spirit, it's kind of a force. You know, kind of like a force that you can't see, but it's there. Some people say, well, it's an it. It's the faith of God. It's it. It's God's faith. And other people say, oh, no. The Holy Spirit, He is a person. And that's the right answer. The Bible that God wrote says the Holy Spirit is a person. And so, let me tell you a little bit about how we know this. He has knowledge. A person has to have knowledge. 1 Corinthians 2:11. He has a will. Again, 1 Corinthians 2:11. The Holy Spirit has a mind. The Holy Spirit has affections. You can lie to the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 5. You can insult Him. You can even grieve Him. You see, the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not an it. It's a person. He's referred to in the New Testament with the personal pronoun of He. It is a person. So, if He's God, how does He relate to God the Father? How does He relate to Jesus the Son? Well, He's the third person of the Bible head. We see, or the Godhead, we see them all at the baptism of Jesus. We see God the Father speaking. We see the Spirit descending on Jesus. And we see Jesus being baptized. So all three are present there. We call this the Trinity. And people say, well, that word doesn't appear in my Bible. It doesn't appear in anybody's Bible. But the concept is there. And the idea is there. And the truth is there. It's the triune Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A definition for the Godhead that we worship. God eternally exists as three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each one is fully God, and God is one. That's our triune God. How does He relate to God? He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He has the attributes of God of omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence. He's eternal and He's holy. And each one has its own role. The Father has His role, the Son has His role, and the Holy Spirit has His role. Let me give you an illustration of what that might look like. Can you imagine walking through a park at nighttime, and it's dark? If there weren't some lights in the park, you would not be able to see. And in the middle of the park is a statue of Jesus. And the statue of Jesus stands there majestically, pointing up. He's pointing to the Father. On Jesus, so that nobody can miss Him, is the brightest of spotlights focused right on Jesus so that you can see Him. In this little illustration that will break down if you press it too far, we see the roles of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus' role is to point to the Father to give Him glory. The Holy Spirit is the light who shines on the work and glory of Jesus Christ. And so we see the Holy Spirit highlighting the Son and the Son pointing us to the Father. And that gives us a rough picture of how the Trinity operates in their roles. And so, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So how does the Spirit relate to you and to me? The Spirit, I believe, for many people is the forgotten God. But His role is crucial. Think of this. If there were no Holy Spirit, there would be no creation. He hovered above the waters. He was a part of creation. If there were no Holy Spirit, there would be no virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He came over Mary. If there were no Holy Spirit, There would be no victory for Jesus over the temptations of Satan. It was the Spirit of Jesus, or Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who led Jesus into the desert. If there was no Holy Spirit, there would be no Bible, no Christians, no hope. Holy Spirit is crucial to your daily life. The Holy Spirit is central to our lives. Once again, the Last Supper, as we call it, Jesus told the disciples that night, "Hey guys, I'm heading out. I'm leaving." And they're thinking, "We left everything for you and now you're leaving us?" And they started to sink into a deep depression. "One of you is going to deny me. One of you is going to betray me. But fear not, I'm going to send you help." That takes us to our passage here. Take a look at Jesus' words in John chapter 14. Verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you." I want to point out just a couple of things in these few verses. One of them is Jesus' words, we can't tell from here, but in the Greek text it's very obvious that he said there will be another helper. Now, Jesus had a choice in the words he could use. Greek is a very robust language with a lot of choices for words. And so Jesus could have said, "There is another," using the word alas. Or he could have said, "There is another, heteros." Now, I don't expect you to remember these words, but I would like for you to remember this. Alas means there is another just like me. Or he could have said, "Heteros, there's another different from me." What word do you think he used? Alas. There's another just like me that I'm sending to you. Things are going to be better. How could that be better, Jesus? You've been leading us for 3 years now, over 3 years, and you're leaving? That's bad news. It can't get better. How could it possibly get better? If the Spirit of God is in you and with you to guide you. And that was his promise. Now think about it. Jesus has gone to the cross. He's gone to the grave. He's been raised back up in 3 days. He's now 40 days. He's been with them. And now he's leaving, ascending to heaven. And he tells them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, make disciples. Now put yourself there. You've been in the graduate school of Jesus for 3.5 years, but still, you're a common fisherman. How are you going to do this? How are you going to preach? You've watched him preach. How are you going to do that? How are you going to carry these things out? They may not have had any sense of how difficult it would be. Certainly, at this point, they had some idea how they might die. At least Peter knew. How are you going to do this? You see, they needed the Spirit of God to guide them. As wonderful as it was to be trained by Jesus, they never would have been able to do it in their own strength. And so Jesus said, "I want you all to go back to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait until power comes upon you." And that's what he did. And when they did, on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them in power and in glory. Now they can carry out the work of God. Peter preaches and over 3,000 come to Christ. One message. The power of God is at work. It's the same today, folks. Do you recognize that same Spirit, when you've trusted Christ, lives in you? Have you learned to turn the switch on? Have you learned to act in faith and said, "If God wants me to do it, I have everything I need"? but we fail to turn the switch on. Oh, no, not me. I could never do that. What is God asking you to do? Has He put anything, His finger on anything in your life that He would like you to do? Maybe it's go across the street to talk to a neighbor that you know is lost. Maybe it's to help somebody. Maybe it's to reach out in a way that makes you very uncomfortable. Oh no, I could never do that. Who can be against you if God is for you? Do you know the answer to that question? No one. No one can be against you. And so the Holy Spirit relates to us in such a way that He is in us and with us. I recognize that if it were possible that I could put together a message for you all for a Sunday morning, and exegetically throughout the week, I studied it at a deep level. And I went into it and I understood everything and I came out of that. And then I presented this wonderfully homiletically prepared message. Something that if a professor would hear, he'd say, "Bravo, A plus." And I did it all in my own strength apart from God. You know where that message would go? It would go right to maybe that step right there. Apart from the Spirit, none of this works. And so I live in dependence on the Spirit every day. I have to. And so do you. As much as I need the Spirit every day, so do you. Things are coming into your life day in, day out. The Spirit is there. Will you allow Him to have His way, or are you thinking, "I got this"? You know, that's the shame of it. If you say, "I have this," the Spirit will say, "Okay, go for it. You got it." But if you say, "Oh God, I'm at the end of myself," He'd say, "That's just where I kick in," and He'll step up. Where are you today? What are you struggling with? Is it health? Is it finances? Is it something you want to do? Something you need to do? Is it something God's put His finger on that you say, "Oh God, I need You"? That's when He steps up. But not before. He won't roll over your life like a Mack truck. He'll wait patiently until you open the door and He'll be right there. And so the Holy Spirit indwells us. When did that happen? When you trusted Christ. When you put your faith in Christ, when you understood the message that Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead, when you understood that you could not stand before a holy God because you've done wrong. God calls that sin. Sin means nothing more than missing the mark. God said hit a bullseye and we couldn't even hit the target. And God says that's sin. And you say, "Well, what was the mark?" And God says, "Perfection." Oh, could never hit that. And God says, "Right. That's why I want you to come to Me. Partner with Me, and I'll partner with you. Draw close to Me, and I'll draw near to you." And so we realize that apart from Him, I can do nothing. We recognize in our heart of hearts, in those honest moments, that God, I know I'm not all that good. I know that I need help. And you come to Him and you trust in Christ because you understand that Jesus Christ died for you. And you trust Him as your personal Savior. I know He died for the sins of the world, but He died for me. That's not a proud statement. And I'm trusting in Jesus. It's my only way to have abundant life now and to have eternal life with God in heaven. Have you done that? If you haven't, it's not too late to go to God and say, "God, I've done wrong. Right now, I want to place my faith in Jesus because He died for me. And I'm trusting alone in Him. Lord Jesus, save me." And He will. But once you do that, you need to know, what does He do? Here's just some things He does. He indwells us. He woos us. Those who are apart from Christ, those who have never trusted in Christ, those who we would say are lost, He woos them. Remember, I said, not one seeks God, not even one. The only people that do are the ones the Holy Spirit woos and are sensitive to it. Not a one of you sought after Christ. Not a one of you. Bible says that, not my words. It was God's love that pursued you. He baptizes us into the family. Baptized meaning immersed. Totally immersed. He baptizes us into the family of Christ. For you, he's baptized you into the family here, the chapel. He seals us. You are sealed. You are secure. Nobody can rip that seal of the Holy Spirit off of you. You are sealed until that day, that final day of redemption. When you die and you go to heaven, the Holy Spirit has sealed you. You're secure. He gives spiritual gifts, abilities for you to do the things that God wants you to do. He teaches us. When I open up the Scripture, God, I'm not going to be able to understand this apart from your Spirit. Would you please teach me and speak to me through your Word as I open it up? He guides us. He gives assurance that we are His children. He prays and intercedes for us when we just don't know what to pray for. By the Spirit, we put to death the deeds of the flesh. He ignites love in our hearts. We are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And it is by the expression of His fruit that He produces Christ's likeness in us. You see, there's nothing more practical than the Holy Spirit of God. Nothing more practical than understanding who God is and how He works daily in your life. And so, what does the Spirit do? Well, I've given you a list of just a few things. But the next question is, I know who God is. I know who the Holy Spirit is. I know how He works in me. Here's the fourth and final question. What should I do now? What should I do in light of this information? Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Well, just what does that mean? We're going to talk a lot about that next week. And I'll fill you in what that means. This week, I want you to do something. I want you to do something, and this is an exercise I want you to practice. It's called spiritual breathing. I get it from Bill Bright. Now, you all are practicing breathing right now, right? You know what breathing's about. In with the good, out with the bad. In with the good, out with the bad. We all want to breathe together now? Okay. We get it. You get what breathing is. I want you to practice spiritual breathing this week. Spiritual breathing, very simply, is this. And I breathe something out that's bad. Something I say that's a critical word I should have withheld. And the Spirit of God goes, that right there, that's not beholding of me. The Spirit of God wants you to do something and you're like, I ain't doing that. The Spirit, you say something, maybe it's a harsh word, maybe it's gossip, maybe you just get so angry at something and the Spirit of God goes, that's not good. That's breathing out the bad. Now I want you to breathe in the good. The good is this. It's 1 John 1:9. Many of you are familiar with it. Many of you have memorized it. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I breathe something out. The Spirit of God puts it on me and I breathe in. Oh, God, forgive me. I'm agreeing with you. That was wrong. That's spiritual breathing. Plain and simple. You're practicing the presence of God throughout the day. Simple enough? That's what I want you to do this week. And next week, we'll talk about how you can not only plug in, but stay plugged in 24/7. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit. We thank you that you saved us. You give us salvation. But you did not leave us for our own or to our own devices. You could have said, okay, I've wiped the slate clean. Be sure you don't dirty it again. You've got a fresh start. Don't mess it up. And you did give us a fresh start, but you gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us. And so, Father, it is by your Spirit that we live. And those who will trust you and those who will live by you will find life not so much a struggle, but more of a dance, more of a romance from a Heavenly Father who loves them deeply and who wants the very best. And through your love and through plugging in daily, we will experience your best. Oh, it won't be easy, and you've not promised to make it easy. You've not even promised to keep us healthy, but you've promised to get us home safely and in the process give us joy. Thank you, Lord. Work in each of our hearts this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for the gift and the promise of the Spirit. Now, Father, take your word, seal it to our hearts, that this week we will bring glory to you by doing all that you want us to do, by being attentive to your word, attentive to your Spirit, and guided. Let us be people who are plugged in to you. We thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.